Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We'll call the February lease sale together here this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals, as evidence that track numbers 44657 through 44660 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. There are no letters of protest or notifications of tracts recommended for withdrawal. We'll have opening of the bids. Suzanne?
Good morning. We received one bid on track 44657, advertised as 817 acres. The bid is for the entire 44657, advertised as 817 acres. The bid is for a portion tract containing 114.36 acres. 114.36 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $22,872. $22,872, or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $11,436. $11,436. Royalties are 21%. We received one bid on track 44658, advertises 19.107 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Hunter Energy Corporation. Hunter Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,419.55. $12,419.55, or a per-acre value of $650. Annual rentals are $6,209.78. $6,209.78. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 44659, advertised as 5.684 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Hunter Energy Corporation. Hunter Energy Corporation. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,694.60. $3,694.60, or a per acre value of $650. Annual rentals are $1,847.30. $1,847.30. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on track 44660, and that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
Okay, thank you, Emil. We'll adjourn and resume the board meeting at 9:30. Thank you.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. Our first order of business is the roll call.
Yes, sir. Ms. LeBlanc?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Harris?
Here.
Mr. Cardero?
Here.
Ms. Duga?
Here.
Mr. Height?
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead? Mr. Watkins?
Here.
Mr. Carter?
Here.
Mr. Bradbury? Mr. Segura, we have a
here.
Quorum.
Yeah. All right, item 3 is the approval of the January 11th, 2017 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
I move to approve.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Duga. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 4 is the staff reports, the lease review report, presented by Jason Talbot and Charles Bradbury.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the board. I'm here to present the lease review report today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,349 active leases covering nearly 573,000 acres. G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 82 leases covering approximately 20,000 acres. We have 2 leases to discuss in more detail today, and one of those leases will actually take up 4 of the 5 items, and that being State Lease 340. We'll start with State Lease 192 West Bay. Hillcorp Energy is our lessee. Committee last reviewed this lease on December 9, 2015. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Hillcorp's report and that they be granted until December 10, 2016 to provide a status update on their activities on the lease. By letter dated January 4, 2017, Hillcorp reported the following lease activities. On 3 of their lease wells, they performed recompletions or workovers projects at a cost of approximately $220,000. Average daily oil field production is at 5,729 barrels per day, which is an increase of 1,460 barrels per day since last year's report. Average daily gas field production is at 6,676 MCF a day, which is a decrease of 1,039 MCF a day since last year's report. Hillcorp is currently evaluating a new drill on the lease targeting the 6B sand by the end of 2017. Staff is recommending accepting Hillcorp's report and that they be granted until December 13, 2017 to provide a status update on their activities on the lease.
All right, any questions or discussion?
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation.
Second
by Secretary Harris. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
The remaining part of my report's going to involve State Lease 340, and basically we're chipping away at 340. We put two selections of 340 on a release schedule or development release schedule beginning in May of 2014, and I'm going to give you a summary of where we are on those selections. Let's begin with 340G, which is in the West Coast Blanche Bay Field, and it involved five designated areas. LeBay Exploration, Castex Energy, Energy 21, and Texas Petroleum Investments were our lessees. The schedule has run its course with no development occurring, and the last remaining acreage was released, approximately 7,412 acres, effective 12/29/2016. The balance of the acreage to be released is zero. The original acreage under schedule was approximately 15,000 acres. So we have removed 15,000 acres from State Lease 340 in this selection. Staff is recommending accepting the 12/29/2016 final release and that it be recognized that the schedule for this selection of 340 has been completed with no further actions required.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendation. Second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any questions? I have one. These selections that you've made them into G, B, C, is that just merely to describe the area where it is?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Not official. It's just your designation to describe the area?
That's correct.
Okay.
So, question, is there, what are your thoughts on the state releasing that at what period of time?
I'm sorry, what was it?
What are the, what are your thoughts on releasing that acreage at some point in the future?
Well, it's a good thing, certainly, especially when you have acreage that has no pew clause, no deferred development. The way we're going to get acreage back is to bring these leases before the board requesting development, and so we get acreage back that the company's unwilling to develop, then that acreage can be returned to Commerce for anyone else to come and pick that acreage up.
This is a very old lease, so.
Yeah.
And somewhat controversial lease.
Yeah.
Ryan has a nice report if you want to read it.
It's a real snoozer.
I got a question.
Phone book.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mr. Hike.
My question is, in what form does the staff notify the company of this final release? Is it by resolution or by letter? What occurs after this meeting with regards to this?
After the approval?
Yeah, there will be a resolution that goes to the lessees on these portions. We got the releases in. They're in-house. They're being processed through our land section.
Then a resolution is sent. Is it a resolution form or is it a letter form?
I think it'll be both. It'll be a letter attached with a resolution.
Is that put on the website or in any kind of public forum?
Yeah, I think all of our letters and resolutions are imaged on document access for anyone to review.
Is there a reason why it's in resolution form as opposed to just a simple letter?
I know this.
It's been done that way before.
Sir?
I mean, it's just been done that way in the past?
Well, when it came to lease review agenda in all my years here, whenever I made a recommendation or staff made a recommendation to the board, what came after was just a letter. But several years back, I guess maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we actually begin to attach a resolution to our letter.
Do you know why a resolution is attached?
No, I can't answer that. I was just told that.
Mr. Secretary, can you answer that? Or?
You want to step up? No, I can't. I was not here when that decision was made.
Sounds like. Anything that the board votes on is put in form of a resolution. So the staff utilizes that resolution along with a letter notifying the lessee of the.
I was just wondering, what is the necessity of a resolution as opposed to a simple letter acknowledging the action of the board and putting that letter, you know, in public, in a public forum as you send it to whomever it's addressed to? Why the duplicity of action? Can you answer that?
I can't answer that. I think it was legal when we began to do resolutions related to lease review. It came down from our legal staff. So,
could I ask you to, you know, at our next meeting, give us a further explanation of that? Talk to your legal team and y'all figure out why that's done that way?
Mr. Boulay will head that up with.
Yes, sir. We'll look into it, Mr. Hike, and see what the past reasoning was, if we can find that in the minutes.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that I don't quite understand why there's a duplicity of that type of action.
Mr. Hike, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Ryan Seidman, AG's office. It's required. The letter is just a notification to the company, but it can't be undertaken without the authority of the board. And I think what Ms. Talley was noting was that whatever board action occurs, positive action by the board, has to be done by way of resolution.
Why? But by what standard? By what statute? By what regulation?
That's required by the board's open meetings law.
Sir?
Open meetings law. The function of regular boards and commissions in the state. The board has to take action by resolution. And then the letter is just notifying. That's all.
Okay. Satisfy me, if you will, by giving me a direction on that at a later date.
Okay.
In other words,
it just doesn't
seem to me that there is a necessity to send out a resolution. If the board takes a vote, it's in the minutes, a letter is written to the party, and that letter is made public. Why is it needed? Why is it necessary to have a resolution? That's all I want to know.
And it's probably more efficient. I can just shoot you some stuff on that offline.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to our next election of 340 at Belle Isle. This is actually what we call a reassigned acreage. They're actually at Belle Isle. There's reassigned acreage and there's non-reassigned acreage. For the reassigned acreage, we had one single lessee, and that's LeBay Exploration. And this election was subject to a development release schedule starting June 1st, 2014, ending June 1st.
Well, you can finish. Excuse me, we forgot to vote.
I'm sorry.
We were had a motion and a second, but and we were discussing. So if the board's ready, if there's no public comment, let's vote on the State Lease 340G, as in golf.
Okay.
All for the motion and second?
Aye.
Aye.
All against? Motion carries. Sorry, continue.
No problem.
340B, as in?
Yes, we're on State Lease 340B selection at Belle Isle Field. And LeBay Exploration is our single lessee. And they're basically, their schedule ran from June 1st to June 1st, 2017. So 2014-2017. And this lessee decided to release early the remaining balance of 860 acres, effective 12/1/2016. The balance of the acreage to be released is now zero. The original acreage under this schedule was approximately 1,720 acres. Staff is recommending accepting its 12/1/2016 final release, and it be recognized the schedule for this election has been completed, with no further action required.
All right. Any questions or discussion?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation on that item. Do I have the second? Second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? Any board comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. 340B. C, right?
We're
the second part of B.
Yeah, we're still on B. We're on the non-reassigned acreage. And just to give you just a brief, when we use non-assigned and assigned acreage, that all has its context in the Global Settlement Agreement. So those are terms used in the Global Settlement Agreement with Texaco. This portion, 340B, Belle Isle, we have two lessees, Texas Petroleum Investment and Castex Energy. This lease portion had approximately 4 months remaining in its schedule for development or release. And since last report, the lessee released approximately 769 acres effective 9/1/2016. The remaining balance of this acreage to be released is 1,456 acres. The original acreage under the schedule was approximately 3,862 acres. Staff is recommending accepting the September 1st, 2016 release and that the lessees be reminded that they have until June 1st, 2017 to develop the remaining acreage or execute the final release.
Any questions or discussion on the non-assigned acreage, non-reassigned acreage?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation. Do you have a second? Second by Mr. Carter. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. 340C.
340C is our final portion of 340 to be discussed. This involves designated areas 1 through 5. This is reassigned acreage at Rabbit Island Field. Our lessees here are Shoreline Southeast, Castex Energy Development Fund, Rabbit Island LP. Committee last reviewed this lease selection on February 10, 2016. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept the current lessee's lease activity update and future development plan and be granted until December 14, 2016 to submit a status report on lease development activity and a partial release of approximately 10% of the total non-productive reassigned acreage. On December 7, 2016, the parties did execute a partial release containing approximately 2,018 acres, which is approximately 10% of the reassigned acreage. We received no status report on lease development activity. The staff is recommending accepting the partial release of approximately 2,018 acres, but due to current bankruptcy proceedings involving the lease operator, which is Shoreline Southeast, the staff is recommending deferring any action to a future date.
Any discussion or questions? Do we have a motion?
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
A motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation. Do I have a second? Second by Secretary Harris. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
What was the total amount of acreage released through these actions?
Through all of this?
And should we have a press release and send it to some interesting parties that might want to hear this?
We could certainly do that if you'd like, and I can get that number to y'all, to you.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Yes.
Great, thank you. All right, the next report is nomination and track. Stefano?
Good morning. Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise four tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the February 10th, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received 26 nominations for advertisement. Six nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the April 12, 2017 mineral lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the April 13th, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received seven nominations for advertisement. The staff is recommending they be given authority to advertise the six nominations for the April lease sale.
All right. Any questions? If not, do I have a motion?
Make a motion granting authority for advertisement.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to grant the staff authority to advertise the six nominations. Do I have a second? Mr. Hayek, second. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
That will complete the items on nomination in track.
Great. Thank you. The audit report, Ms. Rachel Newman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As of January 31st, 2017, field audit collections totaled $797,747. This includes $474,548 in royalty exceptions, $84,448 in interest, and $238,752 in penalties. During the month of January, we closed one audit. The current number of open audits is 62. Royalties collected in January of 17 totaled $15,648,489. That fiscal year to date total is $121,563,557. This same time last year, we had $132,801,334. Monthly reports submitted in January totaled 344. This included 130 for oil, 166 for gas, and 48 for plant products. Item number one on the report is a request to exclude Memorial Production Operating LLC from fiscal year 2017 audit schedule. Memorial filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on January 16th of last month, 2017. They've been a payer of record since March of 2015. They've only paid us a total of $841. They have never been field audited, and we do recommend that the audit of Memorial Production Operating LLC be removed from the schedule this year because payments are immaterial and there is no royalty at risk.
All right. Any questions or discussion? We have a motion.
I do have a question.
Okay. Mr. Hyde.
Did we file anything in that bankruptcy proceeding?
I apologize. I was writing. Which one is that? Which company?
Memorial Production.
We do have stuff filed in that one. Yes, just recently.
When that occurs, I'll say that when a company does file bankruptcy, does that automatically? I guess it doesn't, huh? Automatically release the acreage?
No, it doesn't.
But when it's complete, it does, I would assume.
It depends on that's really a case-specific thing. It depends on what the plans are for the company as it comes out of bankruptcy. I mean, there is one pending right now where there would be a release of substantial acreage if the plan that's approved is authorized by the bankruptcy court. But if it's just a reorganization, which a lot of these are, then they want to hold on to these things. That's the assets for the corporation is the continued operation of those leases. And so most of them these days, in the current environment, and we've seen it differently in past downturn cycles, but in the current environment, they are hanging on to those leases to continue operations. And so they go through and assume the leases in bankruptcy, and they get passed through and retained by the company so they don't get released.
So they may be still operating.
Absolutely.
That money is placed in the province of the bankruptcy court.
It's an asset of the corporation under Louisiana law.
Yeah. And is there, Mr. Secretary, is there a methodology within DNR to either, number one, monitor that and or I guess, keep track, if you will, of bankruptcies? In other words, for instance, does Ms. Newman's department stay on top of these bankruptcies to make sure that to follow the process of the bankruptcy proceeding, I guess is what I'm saying.
We do, actually. That's AG's part office. Of our agreement with DNR is to handle that because it's litigation.
Right. Okay.
And so once either the department or the AG's office gets notification of a potential claim or we identify the claim independently, and it happens in various ways, then we file requests for notices in each of the bankruptcies, and it's all electronic now, so we get every filing in the case immediately. It's something that our office actively monitors, number one, on behalf of the department, and then I know the department's Office of General Counsel also keeps up because we keep in contact on it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And to more completely answer your question, besides the mineral board, Jim Devitt, we'll send out an email throughout the department to see if the state has any other claims outside the mineral board for these companies filing bankruptcy.
Thank you.
So a question on that respect. During the bankruptcy proceedings, can you comment on the frequency of these leases getting reassigned or sold off during bankruptcy?
Ryan Seidman again. It really varies. Okay. There are several options. The ones that are retained by the companies, we make sure that we get assurances from the court that we can recoup dollar for dollar. The ones that are assigned to new companies that will then have to come to the mineral board to approve the assignment, again, we're getting stuff written into the plans that assures dollar for dollar recoupment. It's the very rare abandonment and complete Chapter 7 scenarios where we're really stuck in a pickle, but it does vary.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion to accept staff's recommendation to exclude Memorial Production Operating from the audit schedule in 2017.
Second.
Was that a second? Secretary Harris. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
Item number two is a staff report to the board that the election for January 2017 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texco Global Settlement Agreement. And that concludes the audit report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I have a question.
Mr. Hyde?
On the report itself, and that is this. You said only one audit was closed.
Yes, sir.
In January. Mm-hmm. And there's 62 open.
Correct.
And how many auditors do you have working?
Currently, I have 3 in Dallas, 2 in Baton Rouge, and 5 in 6 in Houston, excuse me.
Are you understaffed?
Yes, I do have field audit vacancies currently.
You currently have what?
I currently have field audit vacancies.
How many?
3.
And what is a field auditor, an incoming field auditor make?
It ranges. We have a level from Auditor 1 all the way to an Auditor 3. And Auditor 1 starts in the mid to late 30s, and then it runs all the way up to mid 40s.
$30,000
or $40,000
times 3.
Yes.
Is there a way to quantify what may be owed the state from these 62 outstanding audits that you hadn't been able to get to?
Potentially. Some of these are at a point that they've been billed, so we can quantify what we think is due on those audits, although they are still ongoing, so there's negotiations, there may be additional information to dispute some of those exceptions.
Well, I understand that, but what my question would be, from the state standpoint, could you give us a report which would say, of these 62 outstanding audits, if our review is correct, we believe that these companies owe us X?
I could for any that are billed. If they're currently actively in progress and they're still doing field work, I'm not going to have the numbers on those audits. But if it's something that's been billed and we've written exceptions, absolutely I can.
Can you do that for our next board meeting so we can get an idea of what's outstanding on the audits?
Yes, sir.
And then we can take a look at that, and then we can balance that against $40,000 times three to determine whether or not we're getting the correct bang for our buck, couldn't we? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Secretary Harris, anything?
I was going to point out that's an argument I make every time I appear before a committee, and an argument that I make each time I visit
maybe we can help you.
So I appreciate any help.
We need to know what that number is.
I'll have that for you next month.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So, to clarify, you have three auditors in Dallas, two in Houston, and five in Baton Rouge.
Two in Baton Rouge.
Okay, sorry. And of those people, how many of them have been with you less than 5 years?
The two in Baton Rouge have been with me less than 5 years. Houston, I'm not sure. I do have, I think, maybe one or two. One of them is probably on the cusp of 5 years. And I have another one that has been with me less than 5 years, but he is a retired gentleman that came from industry, so he really required no training and needed a lot of experience. All of the Dallas auditors have been here more than 5 years.
Okay. So how many of this group of auditors are potentially going to be retiring in the next year or two?
Potentially one in Houston this month, and potentially the three Dallas auditors by the end of the calendar year 17.
Obviously, that it should be very concerning to not only the department but this board. I don't know that this is even sustainable. So I don't, to Ted's comment about help, I don't know what needs to be done, but when you take away and dismantle an apartment and you lose your experience, the training curve in this area is probably 2 to 3 years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it averaged about 2 years.
So if you hire a brand new person out of college at 40,000 or whatever the number is, they're not going to be effective to the state for probably 2 or 3 years, depending on their attitude and knowledge and understanding and training, etc. It's a big curve to overcome. So I've just voiced my concern with this to the board.
Thank you. Mr. Watkins?
I want to ask another question, and that is this. How do you monitor these folks that are out of state? Do you actually travel to Houston and see what they're doing?
We do. That's part of the reason we have auditors set up in Houston and in Dallas. The largest concentration of companies are in Houston, so it's far more cost-effective to have those employees live there rather than send them from Baton Rouge. Same thing with Dallas. Dallas monitors North Louisiana, North Texas, and any place else in the United States.
How do you or the department supervise those folks over there?
I have two managers, one in Dallas, one in Houston. Mr. Belay has made several trips to Houston this year alone. I keep in constant contact. We meet with them once a month to go over the status of every single audit and to go over exactly what progress they're making. So it's a lot of contact with all of them, really.
Do you consider this a critical situation? That is, that you're going to be losing, you're understaffed already by three. You're going to be losing, what, two or three more by the end of the year?
It's always a concern when I lose someone with a lot of experience, always. As Mr. Watkins stated, it is a very large learning curve, and it's difficult to find people that have experience in this field. So anytime one with experience leaves, it's a big concern.
So do you typically hire a kid out of college that has a business degree, an accounting degree?
The majority of our new hires are either right out of college or not far out of college.
So how do you supervise those? How do you teach them?
They have direct training with managers. In most cases, it's going to be the manager, the Houston manager, or the Dallas manager. I have one supervisor in Baton Rouge, and she's getting to the point where she can supervise and train as well. But it's very hands-on. It's one-on-one. We have a very detailed field audit manual. They're issued that. They learn in a group. So if I have, you know, two or three that are hired around the same time, it's very beneficial because they can all sit in on the same audit and see it from start to finish. And that's usually the goal, to get them in one where we can see it from start to finish. But it is extremely hands-on, and we do not feel comfortable releasing them to do audits on their own after until they're completely comfortable with the process. So that's part of the reason it takes so long.
How long have you been doing this?
I have been with the Office of Mineral Resources since 2007. And I started as a manager.
Where were you before?
I was the internal auditor for the Department of Natural Resources prior to that.
Thank you.
Let me ask a question. How long do you anticipate, how long has it been since y'all had the budget cuts that this cut, you know, that y'all had to anticipate this shortage, or you can't?
If I may, we've taken budget cuts year after year,
anticipate another
degrees.
One again coming up, I'm sure.
Certainly we will. We're hoping to survive this special session without any additional cuts beyond what we've already had. It's a situation where we tried to keep our powder dry by not filling vacancies. We don't want to hire people and then have to immediately lay them off. It's just not the right thing to do for the employees or for the department. It's a situation that's been going on for almost 9 years now. And that's when I go visit with the legislators, whether before committee or when I go see them at their district offices. You know, I tell them if this were a for-profit corporation, you know, you would not want to cut in your profit centers because that is what the Office of Mineral Resources does, regardless of which section. Particularly, you know, the way I describe it, the audit section, those are the folks.
They don't understand that?
They do, but they're, you know, under pressure to try to make the statewide budget work. You know, but what I tell them is these are the folks that make sure that oil and gas industry is paying their fair share. Each auditor pays for them their salary in multiples. And they seem to understand, but at the end of the day, they've got to, you know, pass a statewide budget that works.
Yeah, well, I multiply 40 times, see, that's $120,000. How much did we forgive in penalties last year?
Last year, I don't know the number off the top of my head.
More than $120,000?
Yes.
Way more?
Yes.
That's, to me, is very troubling because, you know, this is the policeman, if you will, of DNR. These are the policemen of DNR, and that's got to be a tough situation to be an auditor auditing some of these oil and gas service companies and our companies without any experience. I can't even imagine. Thank you.
One last question. How do you, I'm not sure who should answer this, you have three auditors in Dallas that are retiring all at the same time. What's the plan for Dallas?
Mr. Watkins, she said potentially. We're trying to address that issue right now and nullify that potential. We're also working to increase the amount of auditing done in the field with more support out of Baton Rouge for those auditors, trying to increase our cycle time. We have inherited a significant amount of audits that are ancient. Y'all are seeing some exposure to that, and we'll talk about some of those later in the executive session. We're also continuing to look at ways we can streamline the process with a new auditing manual coming out in the next quarter. Auditing manual, which is kind of the Bible by which they use for training. And, you know, when we walked into this position, we actually had a ban on travel. So that has been mitigated. You know, really stifling this agency from doing its mission. And so I appreciate all y'all's concern and definitely need your support to help us make the battle in the legislature to properly support the Office of Mental Resources. Thank you.
What is meant by the increased cycle time? What do you mean by that? That's a term I'm not familiar with. What do you mean by that? What happens?
Well, it's a little bit of a manufacturing analogy for you where it's a throughput. If you can break down an audit cycle, you have preliminary work, field work, and then billing, and then we have many that are currently between the Office of Mental Resources and the AG's office for finalization as they're put on demand by the board. So increase in cycle time is about becoming more efficient at what you're doing, and we're trying to support that and have asked for even more hours to be worked by our field auditors. That went into effect just this year.
Good. So, Ms. Newman, you don't have an auditing manual?
Yes, sir. What he's referencing is the existing, and she is updating it. But we do have an existing field audit manual. It's about that thick.
Okay. And is that something that is given to you?
Given to every single auditor. They all have access to it.
And your managers, like a manager, helps a new auditor as they come out of college and hired by the state?
Yes. The manager sits with that auditor on that audit until that auditor is completely comfortable and trained. It is extremely hands-on.
Ben?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Always pleasure. A pleasure.
All right. Legal and title controversy report. Mr. Fondo.
Item number one is a request from Solo Energy Resources, LLC, excuse me, for the State Mineral and Energy Board's authority to allow staff to negotiate terms for five operating agreements on the following properties: approximately 8 unleased state acres, being former state lease 14988, which is situated in Rapides in Vernon Parish, Louisiana; approximately 42 unleased state acres, being former state lease 14990 in Rapides Parish, Louisiana; another 42 acres unleased state acres, being former state lease 15448; approximately 8 unleased state acres, being former state lease 15459; and approximately 25 unleased state acres, being former state lease 17064, situated in Vernon Parish, Louisiana. Each lease was formally included in a separate Austin Chalk production unit operated by Swift Energy. Sometimes in 2016, the unit ceased production, resulting in the leases to expire. Since Yuma et al. Was the record title owner in the leases, OMR sought record releases from Yuma. Meanwhile, Sola had approached Swift to begin negotiations to acquire their interest in the Austin Chalk properties located in Vernon and Rapides parishes. Without Sola's knowledge, Yuma subsequently had released the state leases prior to their acquisition. Sola's acquisition of Swift's properties was completed, and Sola reestablished production in 5 Austin Chalk units that require either a new lease or an operating agreement. Under revised statute 30:209.1, Sola qualifies for these operating agreements. Staff recommends that the board grant them authority to negotiate 5 operating agreements with Sola on the above listed properties and to remove the acreage from Commerce and make it unavailable for leasing until May the 10th, 2017 board meeting, or until an operating agreements are confected and approved by the board.